Well, praise the Lord and welcome to the program today. We appreciate you tuning in. Well, it's the 20th already of August, and so we've had a cold week, at least the last part of the week, cold and rain. We got rain, though, so praise the Lord for that. We haven't been having any rain for a while. It's just been very dry and drought conditions here in Montana. But, well, we had rain this week for 3 days, so praise the Lord. And I hope things are going well where you are and that you are close to Jesus every day, closer and closer. Amen. Well, we appreciate you tuning in. Let's go ahead and do some news here as we start out the program this evening. Israel now requires everyone over the age of 3 to show proof of COVID vax or a negative test before being let into restaurants and other indoor spaces. Shiite Muslim men are cutting their heads open with swords as they take part in bloodletting mourning rituals to mark the holy day of Ashura. And it is believed that self-flagellation washes away all of their sins. They believe that. Really, they're thus earning their own salvation then, right? But sorry, the Bible says that doesn't work. You know, I looked at the pictures of this horrible thing that they're doing, and they're just, men are covered with blood, and they have these swords in their hand. They're slashing their own heads, and blood is pouring out. There's open wounds with blood pouring out everywhere. They're just covered. Their clothing is covered with blood, and it's pouring down their heads. And they think this is going to forgive their sins. Really? This is how blind and ignorant people are that just don't know anything about Jesus and the Word of God. You know, his blood was shed once for us. There doesn't need to be any bloodletting to fix us and to make our sins go away. That's ridiculous. The blood of Jesus was let already for us one time, and there's no more offering for sin. So what these people are doing is nothing but demon control over them doing this. Yeah, the enemy, of course, likes to do things like that. But anyway, tragic. Anyway, well, look at that stuff. Another medical doctor is horrified by after effects of the COVID-19 jab, so-called a vaccine, heart attack, he says, blood clots, seizures, heart disorder, paralysis disorders, including Bell's palsy, spitting up blood clots from the stomach, and gums, and much, much more. That's just some of what this doctor said that have been the result of people taking the COVID vaccine. Yes, it's tragic what's going on, and the people that are dying that are not being reported, and it's just a very tragic situation here that we're seeing, and it's only going to increase. And according to what these doctors are all saying, with even a third vaccine, I mean a third shot or booster, whatever they want to call it, third jab coming out soon, so they can just continue to do their job on the human body, is what it looks like, according to Dr. McCullough and a lot of other doctors, of what's really happening is a destruction of people's bodies. All right, Christians at risk of death in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, also concern and fear. There's so much fear going on that their sons and their daughters are going to be taken. And, of course, daughters are being taken for sex slaves. And that's tragic, too. They're going around door to door. The Taliban is looking for Christians and Bible apps on telephone. And they are killing people already, and it is tragic. And three people fell off an airplane that they grabbed a hold of to get out of there. Three Afghans, I guess, they fell off planes. And it's just people are desperate right now. So pray for those 5,000 to 8,000 Christians that are in Afghanistan, that are Afghanis who converted to Christianity over the last 2 decades and used to be Muslim, now born again. Pray for them to be safe. I mean, this is a tragic time for them. Persecution is very great by the Taliban. Yeah. Not to mention persecution all around in different countries of the world as well. It's not just there, but this is definitely a place that's getting it right now. A Virginia school board this week defied a new state requirement and voted down a proposal that would have forced the school to allow students to use the restroom and locker rooms they choose. That's right, shower where they choose to. And the new LGBT-centric law passed in 2020 and allows transgender students to use whatever restroom they want, and no matter, you know, whether it's the opposite sex or not, doesn't matter, because if they want to go in there, they can. So students and staff must use the proper pronoun also, and names of students who identify as transgender or neutral or whatever they want to identify as, you have to call them that. So they said no, they're not going to obey the state government and this garbage that they're trying to force on them. And so thank God they're able to stand up, and we pray for this new governor that we're going to run to get this other governor out that is pure evil governor. And so we pray the new one will be successful and be able to bring in Christian liberties to the people. All right, Harvard Law today promotes polygamy. That's right, they want to legalize polygamy. It just means, they say, this is their quote, what they say, it just means there's more love in the world. No, more lust, more like it, because, yeah, they say what they want, but they're just wanting to be free to have multiple wives, multiple whatever. So, yeah, primary school students can change gender identity without the parent's consent, according to the Scottish government. That's right. The Scottish government tells the children in school that they can make their identity whatever they want it to be, and they don't need their parents involved in that at all. Yeah, well, Pastor Greg Locke's church is vandalized again. If you've not listened to Pastor Greg Locke, he's an interesting fellow to listen to, and he's all over YouTube. Interesting to listen to that brother as he talks, and he's standing up against a lot of things right now and fighting for liberty and Jesus, of course, lifting up Jesus. So, yeah, Greg Locke. Bless that brother. Jesus' name. A 20-year-old male Ugandan was tied up by his father and murdered with a knife by him for becoming a Christian after refusing to forsake his faith in Jesus. So his own father just took a knife and killed him, tied him up and killed him because he became a Christian, and his father could not stand or tolerate him becoming a Christian, so he just murdered his own son. You think that these religions that do things like this are not demon-possessed? Well, I'm sure they are. Because why would you murder your own child? That's absolutely satanic and demonic if people would do such a thing to their own children. But of course, we're living in the last day, so hey, you know, all these things are going on, and they're going to only increase before the return of Jesus. And we need to recognize the times and seasons we're in so that we're not caught by surprise and prepare ourselves spiritually, and so that we'd be ready for these times that we're living in. Yeah, if you're not prepared spiritually, I don't know how you're going to make it through these times, frankly, because it's going to be very tough. That's what I'm talking about tonight, developing a spiritual life. Very important you develop your spiritual life, because if you don't develop it, then how are you going to make it? Already people are living in so much fear and anxiety and stress and troubled about so many things. Christians I'm talking about. Why Christian? When they have Jesus, they have hope, they have strength from above. I don't understand, but I do understand, because if you look at things in the natural, you just without Jesus, you'd freak out. But you have Jesus, see? And listen, if you die, what's going to happen? You'd be getting present with Jesus, and that's far superior to being here. course, but, you know, nobody wants to die. I understand that, although unless you have a spirit of suicide or death wish or something, but normally God would have us to live until we finish our course, see? And so, but people are dying early for various reasons that God has nothing to do with, and yet people are saying, well, God took them home. No, well, no, they went for various other reasons, and many times devils are involved in that, but that's another story. We're not going to get into that right now because we have to pray now and to get into this word tonight that hope will be a blessing to you. And so praise God. Thank you for tuning in. Let's go and pray now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we are very grateful to you, very thankful to you, Father, for all your many blessings that you pour out upon us daily, Father. Oh, the riches of heaven, the riches of the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, that they may not value it in this world, but, oh, we value it. We see the riches of the kingdom. And it is, and it's just a glorious thing to be in your kingdom, Lord, to be in and a part of the kingdom of God. Right now, this hour that we're living in, that you called us to live here and now, Father, we glorify your name for that. We give you thanks and praise and worship for all your wonders and goodnesses that you have poured out upon us, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord. And we rebuke the devil tonight, too, in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke them for the listeners of this program. We cover every listener with the blood of Jesus, and we pray that you bless the listeners, encourage them, and cause them to rise up in you, Lord, and be strong and full of your might and your power, Father, that we will walk forward in this hour, being bold as a lion, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, anointed with fresh oil from heaven, Father, that each of us would be filled up to overflowing, Father, that we will not be ashamed or afraid of the circumstances and situations we see in the earth right now and the things that look like they will take place even in our own country that are taking place in Australia right now and other countries. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray for liberation from the bondage of these spirits that are trying to run the world right now. We come against those spirits of COVID, of demons of the COVID and of the vaccine and the pharmakia that's being operated against people, along with the demonic man-made manipulation of this whole thing to cause population reduction, et cetera, et cetera. Lord, we rebuke this in Jesus' name, and we stand against the wickedness that is going on in the hearts of man. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, Father. We stand against that wickedness in Jesus' name. We pray for people to come to know you, Lord. That's the only hope humanity has. That's the only hope they have is you, Lord. So we pray for, Lord, just more people to come to you, more salvation. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, before you return, that people will come to you in droves, Father. We pray for that, Father. We rebuke the enemy off the minds of humankind that they would not be blind to the gospel, that they would hear and receive it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray for that today, Lord. We pray for liberation for your saints from the bondages of the flesh, Father. We pray for that too, Lord. We come against those lusts of the flesh and things like that that people are in the church and that are born again, they're in bondage to and seemingly can't seem to get the victory over, Father. We just come against those things and pray for liberation for the saints of the Most High, Father, that their eyes would be opened and they would be liberated, Father, from these bondages to these demons and their own life, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for moving. Thank you for healing and health and protection from the evil around about us, the disease germs, the disease demons, and these fallen beings that are trying to put stuff on our bodies to take us down. We rebuke the enemy and cover our bodies with the blood of Jesus right now and station the angels of the Lord round about us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling place. No evil shall befall us, nor plague come nigh our dwelling place. We declare that right now in the name of Jesus as our reality, Father. Thank you for that truth, Lord, that we know, Lord, as we embrace it and we walk in it and we keep it, and keep it near to our hearts, Father, and our spirits. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Bless the program tonight. We cover the program with the blood of Jesus and ask you to minister by the anointing of the Holy Spirit here tonight, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for blessing here tonight. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. All right, we're going to just get into this right now. Are you ready? Have you thought about this lately? Do you really know you? Do you really know yourself? Do you really know what's going on in your own life today? Have you ever surprised yourself with what came up out of you, the weirdness or the evil that you came out of your mouth, the profanity that you might have spoken out? Just, well, where'd that come from? I didn't want to say that. Where'd that come from? And out of your mouth flows out some line of profane stuff or just a profane word or two, cussing, something that, where'd that come from? Perhaps it's you have a temper that blew up and you say, wow, I didn't know that was in there, and words you said you didn't know were in there either, and you think, man, I wish I hadn't said that, or an action that you wish you'd never done, and you say, whoa, where'd that come from? Any of those things happen. You know, a lot of times Christians just don't know the level of demonization that they have going on within themselves. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't that true? I mean, this is the only place in the whole Bible this word desperately is used. Did you know that? And it means be frail, feeble, incurable, sick, woeful, incurably sick. So the heart of man is incurably sick. Right? Is feeble and woeful, incurable, frail. Wow. Let's look at another scripture here. Ecclesiastes 9:3. There is an evil among all things. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Wow. Humankind, because of sin, is so selfish and evil. Only Jesus can change us. Only God can do that. Only the Lord God Almighty can change us. And that's why in a survival scenario, what happens? Or in a situation where people are just trying to make it, like struggling, and they're just fighting for their lives, in a situation like that, the worst usually comes out. Well, I know that the mainstream lying media doesn't want you to know that, but it does. That's right. It sure comes out, and they want you to think everybody's just all so sweet and nice to one another. And it's, no, but that's not the real reality of things when things like this fall apart and people get just fearing for their life and just struggling out there. See? But we all need at times to do some soul searching, getting a floodlight down and going down into the basement or cellar of your being and find out what's really down in the dark corners of your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, and also includes the heart, because the heart is a connection between the soul and the spirit. And so the spirit is the actual born-again part of you. But the heart, you can have evil in your heart, but not in your spirit. See? Your spirit is, and sometimes that word heart is used interchangeably for the spirit because of interpretation, and you just have to look up each individual space that it's used, because sometimes it means spirit, sometimes it means the soul, and so the heart is joining together too. But anyway, you'll find that there are things moving around down there, slithering around, flittering around, hiding around. That's right. They're not the best things going to see. Because anyone can dress up a home real nice on the outside, but hey, start rummaging, looking around in the basement, and you find that every house has its scary places and stuff in there that, yeah, unless they've cleaned house. And we're talking about the human house right now, too. That's right. I remember going about a home that looked normal on the outside, but the moment that you went in, you couldn't even walk. Even underwear was just never, ever picked up, because once they bought underwear and they just wore it dirty and they just threw it on the floor, just threw it around, and trash everywhere, dirty laundry, you know, garbage everywhere. And yet this woman who lived there went about her daily life, looked like a normal person that went to work every day. And yet it was nothing normal about it, her home life at all, okay? But she looked normal at work and living, it looked like she was living a normal life. But you went into her house and you saw there's some madness going on in there. There's some demons in this person that would live like that. So are you ready for Jesus to walk down into the cellar of your home, the basement of your home, and bring everything out into the open, and everything that you've ever stored up in there and locked up in there? You know, some people clean house by hiding all the garbage, the dirt, instead of getting it out. And that's what a lot of Christians have done. Instead of dealing with the demons and dealing with the garbage there, they just sweep it under the carpet, throw it down in the basement, put it in a bag, try to out of sight, out of mind it, you know. But it doesn't go away. All these hurts, all these damages in your life, all these lusts and all these different things that have piled up in your life doesn't necessarily go away if you don't deal with it through Jesus. You don't cast out what needs to be cast out and clean out through the washing of the water of the Word, too. You know, dirt has its way of showing up eventually. This garbage has its way of showing up. You know, if you don't deal with the garbage, demons are just going to strengthen themselves in your life. See? And so we need to learn to cry out like David did. We need to cry out like he did, Psalms 139. Let's go read that. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24 here. Yeah. Are you there? Well, you may not be, but I am. So I'll read it to you. How about that? Search me, O God, he cried out. That's right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what he cried out to God. Lead me in the way. Get this out of me, as only you can. Deliver me, O God. You know, let's Jesus and you and me, let's get to our cleaning materials and get out into that layer of the house under where the dark things have been raining in there, where we've allowed the past to still haunt us in the deep recesses of our human soul, where the old scars, the old wounds, the hurts, the things that we, you know, close the door on during the day, but hey, at night they come creeping out of there, slithering out from time to time, stealing our joy, stealing and robbing our victories, tormenting you with, you know, manner of thoughts that come from these things that are still there, even though you might have thinking that you dealt with them or you swept them away or hid them away somewhere. They're not going to just go. Things just don't leave our lives until we deal with them through deliverance and healing and the washing of the water, the Word of God. Then we can get rid of these things, okay? And shame and guilt and the things that the Lord has, you know, over things that the Lord has put behind us that we've been forgiven for, but we haven't dealt with them. We've let them stay in there, see? And we let the demons get up a foothold in there, and we just keep just brushing over it like it's not there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the demons there try to tell us that we're unworthy of our salvation at times. And they will run through your mind like rats. the demon rats that they are, right? They'd be running in there polluting everything and putting all manner of thinkings and thoughts in there when they're allowed out of their hidden places that we push them away to, you know, because you can't just lock them up forever. You just can't lock up a bunch of demons inside of you forever. And these hurts and these wounds and these fears and these torments and these anxieties, they will come out and trouble you like, you know, running through your life like a rat. That's right. It's no fun. They'll keep you awake at night. They'll trouble you. They'll give you nightmares. They'll get you, make you afraid of tomorrow, of the future. They'll make you afraid to die, afraid that God doesn't really love you. They'll make you afraid that the word of God is not true. Yeah, that you won't believe it. Because they're unbelieving spirits that want to torment you. They hate us. And if we don't get rid of them, they're going to continue doing their dirty work, right? Because they are dirty creatures of darkness. 2 Chronicles 29. Read verse 15 and 16. 2 Chronicles 29 and 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Cleanse the house of the Lord. Folks, we all need some cleansing. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple. We are the temple of God, folks. In the temple of the Lord, into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. We need to get this evil stuff out, folks. Quit entertaining it. Quit holding on to it. Quit letting it cling to you and you clinging to it. And let it go. Get it out. Out, out, out. Right? Amen. So that's what they did then, and we are the house of God now. We are the temple of God. We have body, soul, and spirit. Just like the temple then, it had the outward court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Well, we have the body, the soul, and the spirit. And the body and the soul is the area where these things, these unclean things, have set up their house. And they have dug in deep in many of our lives, and we need to get them out. Amen? Come on, let's clean our houses from all of this evil working in our being. How much lust are you still allowing to be in there that comes up every now and then? Some of you, it comes up all the time because you just entertain it. But God wants us to be brought to transparency, to deliverance. We need to have a willingness to change, though. Are you willing to change? Okay, it starts there with a willing to change. You have to have a willpower that says, the will that says, no more of this. I'm out of agreement with you. That's right. A willingness to cry out like David did. Clean up any wicked thing in me, O Lord. But can you handle the unveiling of those things? And can you really handle it like some of the marriages? I mean, one should know their mate's faults as well as their virtues before they say, I do, at the marriage table, you know, when you get married. But many people, they, and in fact, most, refuse to know those faults. And in this case, you know, in a lot of cases, the faults have been hidden because they don't want their future mate to see them. But in this case, what they see at the altar, in many cases, when their wife or husband is all handsome or their wife's all beautiful, and yeah, and they see them, and that will be as good as it gets ever for some, because they find out once they marry them, things aren't what they were hoping it would be. And the following morning might be a dramatic jolt back to their reality, see, because if the husband has looked so lovingly into the eyes of his bride on their wedding day, isn't prepared for the further revelation or unveiling of the removal of all the, painstaking, should I say, or the measures to cover the faults of the bride, and he will constantly be searching for some myth that isn't there, right? Or vice versa, see? And such is the process of being married to Jesus, married to the truth, that we are married to truth, right, as a covenant believer. And as each layer of the veil gets taken off, then we ask ourselves if this is the same truth that we met when we first came to God. At the beginning, man, it was good morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Now it's good Lord. Morning again. the refiner fire is not always pleasant, folks. They said he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire is a refiner's fire that brings us forth like gold when it's done. And the potter's wheel is not seen at the beginning of this marriage, at the beginning of this union with God. But hey, we're married now to him, and we married them as well as when we said to Jesus, I do believe in you, Lord. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. So can you go face what's in the hidden areas of your life and let deliverance have its perfect work in your life, the cleansing of your temple? Can you allow that to take place in you? As Jesus went and cleansed out the temple, remember, of the so-called money changers and all that was wicked in the temple. Listen, we all have some money changers and some wickedness and corruption in our temple that needs to be cleaned out. And we need to let Jesus go through the temple, routing this stuff out of us. Amen? Oh, I know we don't want to hear that sometimes because we think we're okay. But we're not just all okay. I mean, there needs to be work done in each one of us still. We're not any of us arrived at the place where we ought to be. And we're in a growth process. We are progressively changing. We are progressively growing. And in the meantime, God doesn't condemn us. In the meantime, he cleanses our sins by the blood continually. And we don't have to live under condemnation. But, you know, we're living in a sinful world, folks. We're living in a sin-filled world. It's a dark time in America and in the whole world right now. That's right. And guess what? You know, it's getting darker, too. And when a country, even a world, allows perversion, LGBTQ plus, to rise up as normal, really, to normalcy in society and acceptance, I mean, it's in big trouble, and it's going down. If there isn't a revival, if there isn't a redemption process take place, then this country is going to go down. When people are anti-Christ in their lifestyle, anti-Christ in their beliefs, anti-Christ in their behaviors, and shake their fist at God, that country cannot last without a turnaround. And we need a turnaround in America. We need a turnaround because the powers out there are full of darkness, and they are bringing and forcing their will upon the people, the peasants, should I say, of this nation, even though we should not be the peasants because it's supposed to be government by the people, for the people, right? For the people, by the people, right? That's the way it is, for the people, by the people. But no, it's by the government against the people. And it shouldn't be that way at all right now. But it is. And so we need to pray against that. We need to pray that the Lord would turn things around here in this country. There'd be a revival, a renewal, an outpouring of the Spirit of God in America. But we do. We live in a sinful, dark world, and it's going to get darker before the return of Jesus. So, where are you at today? Do you know where you're at today? Do you know how you're walking today? If you tell someone you're a Christian, are you ashamed to do that? Are you afraid they're going to see you differently? Do they put you to the test to see if you're really a Christian? Has it ever cost you anything yet to be a Christian? Hey, people are being killed every day in other countries for being a Christian. What about you? What if you came and had to choose whether you would live or die as a result of standing up for Jesus? And if you didn't, then you wouldn't die. But if you did, they said they're going to kill you. Would you go that far? It cost the apostles, every one of them, everything. It cost them everything. And it'll cost us everything if we're really going to be true end-time Christian in these latter days. It might cost you your marriage. It might cost you your family, your children. Because the Bible says in the last days, the children turn against the parents. And they'll just hate righteousness, or the parents against the children, vice versa. I mean, it's just going to be a time of great darkness and betrayal, yeah. And yeah, so if we call ourselves Christian, we need to be different from the world. And that's going to happen through the grace of God, and it's going to happen through a reckoning process. What do you mean a reckoning process? Well, let's go to Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, you need to reckon yourself. You know, whenever a young man who is a member of an Orthodox Jewish family becomes a born-again Christian, the father says, this son is to me dead. If he's the father is an Orthodox Jewish man, he said, this son is to me dead. He became a Christian. So he puts him out of the house, and he never speaks to him again. And if friends ever come over and ask about his son, he says, my son is dead. Well, he's not actually dead, but the father considers him as dead and acts like he's dead because he became a Christian. Well, in the same sense, even though the old self is still alive, you know, God says, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. We need to call ourselves dead unto sin. It's like it's no longer a dominant force in our life. It's not, according to the word of God. We need to reckon that so. And we're to know this truth and then continue continually, moment by moment, day by day, consider it to be so about us, to reckon it so. Don't ever lose sight of it. Don't doubt it. Don't let the devil tell you you're not dead to sin. Oh, look at your life. Look at your life. You're not dead to sin. Look at all your messes. Look at all that's in your basement still. Look at all the uncleanness that is still in your life. No, we need to reckon this to be true. Amen? Because the word of God tells us to. Look at verse 12 here in Romans 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We don't let it reign. We reckon ourselves dead to it, and we don't let it reign. Let not sin reign in your mortal body any longer. And we reckon it dead. See, we don't let it reign, you know. We don't let it. Why don't we let it? Well, how can I not? Because you are reckoning yourself dead to it. That's how you cannot let it rain, because you reckon yourself dead to it. And this doesn't mean you won't ever sin, because if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, right? But it doesn't mean you're never going to sin. It just means sin won't get the best of you anymore. It won't run rampant in your life. It won't rule you completely. It won't take over because you reckoned it to be dead. And because of his grace and by the power of his grace, you won't let it. You won't let it. Look at verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The word instrument is a military term. Your hands, your feet, your tongue, your eyes, your mind, your body members, they are weapons in the good fight of faith. Just declare them instruments, weapons of your war, weapons of your battle, weapons of what you're involved in right now. See, you're involved in a battle. And you need to reckon that these things are your instruments. Your members are instruments of righteousness, weapons of righteousness unto God. And stop yielding your members. Your mind is a member. Right? You're yielding your mind to ungodliness, to fear, to lust. Stop yielding it. This mind is a weapon of God, not a weapon of the devil to use against you all the time. You need to say, this is my mind. My mind's going to do what I tell it to do. It's not going to do what the devil tells it to do. It's not going to become an instrument or a weapon of unrighteousness. It's a weapon of righteousness. My arms, my hand, my eyes, my ears are weapons of righteousness, not weapons of darkness. Amen? Amen. Amen. Your hands, your feet, your tongue, your eyes, your mind, your body, your members, they're weapons in the good fight. And use them for the glory of God. Paul says, don't take your weapons and give them to the enemy. Don't give your mind to the enemy. He'll take over with anxiety and stress and fear and worry. He'll take your mind and use it as a weapon against you. That's why you make it a weapon against him. The Bible says, casting down every vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, we're getting knowledge of God here, so we got to walk in the knowledge of God. We can't just have it go in one ear, out the other. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self, see? Because if you're not a doer of the word, then your mind will be used against you, see? And your body will be used against you. The body, the enemy will use it as a weapon by making it sick or by making it have problems or making you think it is, making you have issues with your body, see? That's a weapon against you to tear you down, to break you up, to get you to quit walking by faith and trusting in the Lord with all of your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. See, that enemy would use your own understanding as a weapon against you. Didn't we just read this, see? Neither yield you your members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto God. Because that word instrument means it's a military term. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is important stuff. Okay? Don't take your weapons and give them to the enemy. That would be foolish for a soldier in a battle with an enemy combatant to give all his arms up to the enemy. Now, would that be foolish? But Christians do it every day. And that is exactly what happens when you take your tongue and curse or hurt somebody with it, hurt yourself with it, speak stuff over your own self, self-curse yourself, speak out words of fear and words of bondage, that speak bondage and curses to others and yourself as well. Hell, you're taking that little member and making it a weapon of unrighteousness. That which should be a weapon of righteousness and holiness, you know, instead it's becoming a tool of the enemy, even to tear you down if it's possible. He'll do it, man. The devil would do it to you. You'd let him. Yield is a Greek. This means a continuous yielding. See? A continuous yielding. In other words, do not yield all the time your members, day after day, week after week, hour after hour, yielding your members to sin, to your enemy, habitually, continually. See? Do not yield. Remember? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You get it? And some people are doing it continually. Continually. You give the enemy just a little bit of a micron, or you give him an inch, he'll take a mile, right? That's the way the enemy works. You just give a little bit of your member, well, he just rushes in like a flood and tries to just dominate. You give him anything. Sin is habitual. All Christians at times in their lives, but, you know, they sin. But he is saying, don't give your weapon, don't give your members to sin habitually, because you'll bring yourself into bondage. You fill up your life with stuff, not just in your basement either. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, it's not supposed to have dominion over you when you walk in grace. If you walk in the law, that's a different thing. But if you're walking in grace, sin is not supposed to have dominion over you, and you're not supposed to be yielding your members unto sin and unto the enemy to use against you and against others. You don't just use it against you. You use it against the devil. Will use it against others too. So if we yield our members to God, then what? Sin shall not have dominion over you if you're walking in grace. And if we know these things and we reckon them to be true, why? Because you're not under the law, but under grace. See, these things will be your reality. But if you don't, if you yield them to the enemy, then the enemy's going to have an advantage over you, and your life will continue to be lived in a state or a condition that is not the condition that the Lord wanted it to be in. And many Christians are living in a condition that is not the condition that God wants their lives to be in today, because they have yielded members of themselves to the enemy in one way or another. And God just told us not to do that. He told us to yield our members to him. Yield them to righteousness. Yield them to the word. Amen. Yeah. Many religious people say falsely that sin will have dominion over you if you come out from under the law. That's not true. Paul says the opposite. But that's legalists and religious people and Hebrew root groups. Yeah, people like that. But that's another story. And this is what Paul says about the law and sin. Let's go look at it. First Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, he gave us the victory over the law through Jesus. The Bible says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is the grace of God. With his blood that has broken the power of sin, broken the power of the law. The law cannot, could not do it. Had to be Jesus. The reason that sin should not have dominion over you, hey, is because you're under grace and not under law too. But a key word that many Christians miss and have a problem with, you know, is this yielding. Yielding. Well, they don't have a problem yielding to the devil. But man, humans as a whole have a problem with yielding to God. You know, I have it right away here. I'm not yielding. I mean, we lost the yielding in America. They owe me. I'm not yielding. I deserve it. Yield to you? No way. I'm not going to yield to you. And by this attitude, we're yielding to the devil all along. Remember this. Yielding requires submission. Oh, that's another ugly word to a lot of Christians today. They don't want to submit. Submit? Me? No way. You know, that's their attitude. A lot of Christians have a tremendous zeal in the Lord or for God today. Why, they will work their fingers to the bone for God, trying to serve God, but they won't submit to him. See, God doesn't care about you working your fingers to the bone for him. He doesn't want you living for him anyway. He wants you to live from him. From his anointing, from his grace, from his power, from his anointing, and all the things, the good and perfect gifts that come down from above. You live from that. You don't live for those things. So, yeah, that doesn't do any good. Doesn't get you any brownie points working your finger to the bone. I'm doing this for you, God. I'm suffering for Jesus. Well, did he tell you to do that? Is he doing that for you? No. Well, you're just getting religious then. He said to obey is better than to sacrifice. And he said yield and submit, not work harder. He didn't say work harder. Works are simply vain oblations, empty labor. Works-based, performance-based Christianity that isn't going to get you anywhere with God. It's only what the Father does and through what Jesus does through us and the Holy Spirit does through us that matters. Yeah. Go to Romans 10. Read another verse here. Romans 10:3. 10:3 and 4 to be exact here. So we're going to read two verses. I give you a lot of scripture every week. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There it is right there. They're going about to establish their own righteousness by their works. Yeah, a lot of Christians into works righteousness today. I'll just do more for you, Jesus. I just want to do more for you. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, not works. Jesus is the end of the law. Not more works, not more law keeping. so many religious people, Christians, Jews, Mormons, Catholics, whatever, they're simply trying in their ignorance to establish their own righteousness. And yet unwilling to submit to the righteousness of God. You just submit to his righteousness and live in it. Don't work for it. One of the main reasons more people don't receive the simple gospel of grace is human pride and human reasoning. That's why. Because it's against the carnal mind. The carnal mind does not understand the things of the spirit. You got to start thinking with the spiritual mind of God. And we have a spiritual mind. We have the mind of Christ. But if you're not thinking with it, it isn't doing you a whole lot of good, is it? If you just let the carnal mind dominate your thinking, then it's going to rule your life and it's going to dominate you with the thoughts of the carnal mind. And how many know the enemy is in the carnal mind? Yes, he's all over it. No wonder you're having a problem you're having today, right? Oh, yeah. It's sad. God's righteousness, grace, not only something that we believe, but also something to which we should be submitted to. See? One of the main reasons more people don't receive the simple gospel of grace is simply that pride that they have, right? It just walking that pride that I can do this, man. I can take, you know, I can do this, God. I mean, you know, they're just determined not to submit. I mean, it's hard for all of us to submit and yield. Yet submitting is the central issue here. That all we need to do with his righteousness is submit to it and let God just put it on you. See, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is my reality. He's put that on me. See? By grace, because I believe. Religious people say, no, I must do better. I must work harder. I must try harder. I must be a better person. In other words, I won't just submit. And that's pride, folks. That's pride. You know, if we're in Billings, Montana, and we want to get to Bozeman, we get on I-90, right? It goes over to Bozeman. And that's how you get to Bozeman. You get on the interstate and drive over to Bozeman. But suppose you could just be translated, transported, and placed suddenly in Bozeman. Would you need to, after you got there, say, well, I must go back and come in on I-90. I need to go because I-90 goes to Bozeman. I never heard of getting to Bozeman by transport. Just being translated over to Bozeman from Billings, I never heard of such a thing. Because I-90, well, that's the way to get into Bozeman. Well, you're already there at your destination. You're at the end of your journey. Why would you go back and try to get there again on your own? See, this is what's already happened to us. We're already where God wants us to be, but yet we go back and try to get there on other ways that don't work. And when you're in Christ under grace, you have reached the end of your journey as far as righteousness is concerned. You're not going to ever get any more righteous than you are right now, right? I mean, listen, if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now, how am I going to get any more of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now? How am I going to become any more righteous than I already am? I'm so righteous that I've been accepted in the Beloved right now. How am I going to get any more accepted in the Beloved than I am right now? See? You're not going to get any more righteous. You're not going to get any more saved than you are saved right now. You're not going to get any more to Bozeman than you are when you're in Bozeman. Right? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. See, it's a reality that we must submit to and make our reality. I mean, it is our reality. The Word declares our realities over us. We just need to receive that reality, submit to that reality, make it what it is already as our reality, because it is our reality. God's already made it so. We just haven't received it. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either you're going to yield and submit to sin and the devil and his demons and the things that are dominating in your basement right now that are down there, still rising up and causing you all kind of trouble, something from the past keeps rising up in your life, and you submit to it, or you're going to submit to the law, or you're going to submit to grace and truth. Which what's it going to be? The grace and truth and the free righteousness that God gave you, the free gift? Or are you going to keep submitting to sin, yielding to those demons, yielding to the power of sin and the power of the law and being dominated by those things. The power of something that happened in the past that you keep submitting to that. What are you doing submitting? Paul said, forgetting those things that lie behind. Well, you don't know what happened to me. You know, I just got over COVID, and I'm so afraid. I'm so fearful. I'm going to get COVID again. I'm going to suffer again. I'm going to go through COVID again. Or I just got over this. And, you know, whatever it may be. See, people are subject to subjecting themselves to things that happen to them. And we ought to be subjecting ourselves to the Word of God and the reality of God's Word. That is a higher reality than our past and what happened to us in the past. We're subjecting ourselves to lust because we were lustful in the past. We're subjecting ourselves to falling into sexual temptation because we were sexual in the past. We were living in immorality. Really? And you want to go subject yourself again because you've written that in the past? Well, didn't it bring you into bondage in the past? Didn't it cause you problems in the past? Pleasure for a season, but problems indeed? Why would you go back? Why? Why? So either you're going to yield and submit to sin and the power of sin and all of its power, which is Satan, or are you going to submit to the law, which God says we're not under the law anymore, or are you going to submit to grace and truth and the gift of righteousness, either God and Jesus or Satan, which they're going to be. If you start to yield and submit to sin, habitually you are saying, you are my Lord and Master. You submit to fear. You're saying fear is my master. See? Because you talk about submission here, right? You submit to fear. Fear is your master. You submit to lust. Lust becomes a master. See, whatever you're overcome by, you're in bondage to that. And God to say, he says, it's the Son to set you free. You'd be free indeed. Right? Then bondage to no man. See, we're not supposed to be in bondage to any devil, any man, anybody. Right? But listen, as you start submitting to it, you're saying, you're my head. You're my master. Sin is my master. Christ is not my master. When you submit to these things, in those areas, he's not your master, see. But Jesus said, sin will have no dominion over us. So we're made free from sin and the law of sin and death. How we died to it, how did it happen? Well, we died to it in Christ, see? So you need to reckon yourself dead to sin. See, listen, I'm going to tell you something about things that, you know, that a lot of people might have already thought of and been thinking of. You know, there may come a day that you won't even be able to get your medical treatment if you don't have your little vaccine passport, or if you haven't taken their mark and you need to get medical attention, you won't be able to get it. What are you going to do then? Can we start learning to live by faith now that Jesus is our healer? You think that might be something that we need to know and walk in and believe in these latter days that we're living in? Because you won't be able to go to the local hospital, the local doctor, because you haven't got their mark. Look, already, if you haven't got the COVID, you can't buy or sell in this place, in certain places in the country, right? We want to make sure you've got your passport, your mark, your jab, or you can't come in this restaurant, or you can't buy in this grocery store, or you can't meet in this public place, or blah, blah, blah. And at the rapture, people say, oh, don't worry, just go ahead and take the vaccine because we're still here, you know. We're not going to be here for the mark to be. We're not going to be here. You're deceived. If you believe you're going to get out of here as some secret preacher of rapture before any of this stuff happens, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. That's not the Word of God. You're deceived. The pre-trip rapture people are totally deceived in their belief that they're going to get out of here in some secret catching away, and then the whole world is going to go to hell and in all kinds of misery while they're up there at the marriage supper and the lamb partying. That's totally unscriptural. That is not, you cannot prove that out of the Bible at all. Jesus said at the last trump, he said the elect wouldn't even be saved if the Lord hadn't shortened the days. Come on, folks, now. Oh, man. I'm not saying that this is the mark of the beast that COVID isn't. I'm just saying that it's preparation, and then at what point does it become that? They're going to have endless jabs, right? They're already talking about the third one coming out any day now. And what's going to be the final one going to be? Well, you can't, if you don't get this one, you're not going to be able to buy, sell, and do nothing. People need to wake up. I'm telling you, people need to wake up. And you need to be prepared. If you don't get, what am I going to do if I can't go to my local hospital every time I want to? You better have Jesus then, because he's your healer. The Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, what if there's a day where you can't? That's what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying that it's that way right now. Huh? Yeah. What if you can't? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's time for a wake-up call to the church, man. And then all these pastors out there saying, oh, take the vaccine, take the vaccine, take the vaccine. And then being paid to convince people, hey, if the government's paying pastors to do something, you know it ain't of God, right? Oh, well, that's another story, right? We're not going to get into that, okay? But anyway, reckon yourself dead to it. Reckon yourself dead to sin. So what do we do? Number one, we reckon. Number two, we yield. Number three, we submit. Number four, we let. And number five, we be the servant of God, of righteousness, not sin. We're the servants of God, of righteousness, not sin. Okay? That's right. And this is the way to live life in the 2021, right? And always. So the question is, will you reckon? Will you let not sin? Will you yield? Will you submit? And will you simply be the servant of righteousness and of God? Or will you be stubborn, try to get to heaven your way? Let's allow the reckoning process to take place in us today in our life. Right now, submit yourself to God. And then it says you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? There's effective resistance in submission. And people are not seeing that. They don't submit to God. They wonder why the devil's all over them, why the demons are having a dominant place in their life. The Bible says submit to God, resist the devil. First, submission takes place, right? And then he'll flee from you. No wonder the devil fleeth not from you. No submission to Jesus. No effective resistance to the devil. It's simply that true, that simple. I mean, no submission to Jesus, no effective resistance to the devil. A simple fact. A simple fact. You know, there are many weapons in a soldier's arsenal. There's grenades. There's their rifle. There's tear gas. There's smoke bombs. I mean, so there are many weapons in our arsenal as well. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, a soldier of the cross, there's the faith that God gave us, faith. And they all the weapons operate through faith. See? But then there's the casting out of demons. There's the binding and the loosing. There's the praying in tongues. There's praise and worship. We must not ignore praise and worship. A lot of Christians, when's the last time you entered into real praise and worship? When's the last time you really worship God? Demons hate it. And it changes the whole atmosphere. Even can change your situations and circumstances, not only just yours, but others as well, when your person is really entered into praise and worship. So that's a mighty weapon in your arsenal. Yeah. It's a mighty weapon in your end-time arsenal. So I think we need to talk a little more about praise and worship. I think we better spend a little time on this here before we finish up tonight. Let's go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Yeah, I'm saying a lot of important things, like usual. But whether they really become a reality in your life or not, that's up to you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be once in a great while in my mouth. Is that what it says there? Psalm 34:1, no, it says, it will be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. Are you trusted in the Lord today? You'll be blessed then. Is the praise of God continually in your mouth? You know, I want to challenge you to praise God more than ever before. You say, why should I? I don't feel like it, nor do I want to. Well, then you need to taste and see that the Lord is good to you, because you'll praise a whole lot more when you really know him better, and you won't praise what you don't value. If you don't value God, you won't praise him. But when you truly praise, it releases all that pent-up, stored-up stress in you. A lot of the junk that's in that basement can be released through praise and worship too, you know. And when God arises, think about this. When God arises through praise and worship, because he inhabits the praises, right? When God arises through the praise and worship, his enemies are scattered. How many of those demons hate praise and worship? They hate it. They can't stand it. We've done it in before during deliverance, and the enemy demons just get all stirred up. Maybe you haven't had a revelation that you have something to praise about. Maybe you haven't had that revelation yet. Well, you need to get that revelation. I pray the Holy Spirit to give you one tonight. You've got something to praise about. Oh, you don't know my life, you know, Pastor Kyle. It's a mess. I don't have nothing to be thankful for, nothing to worship for. John 1:29. Let's read that. John 1:29. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Now, that's something to praise God about. Do you think Jesus took away the sin of the world? You think he took away your sin? That ought to be a praise right there. Amen. I praise you, Lord, for taking away my sin. Christians all over are under so much guilt, so much condemnation, because they have never had the true revelation of the gospel of Jesus, who has absolutely annihilated sin from their lives. See, the Lord is not imputing sin to us. He's imputing what? Righteousness. Sin is not imputed unto us anymore. Righteousness is what's imputed unto us. We are the righteous of the God. We have it. Hallelujah. Did Jesus take away the sin of the world? You say, yes, because Scripture said so. But when you look at your own self and your condition, you may not be experiencing this truth because you see all the faults, all the mess. Nevertheless, the truth is, and by the way, it is knowing the truth that will set you free, not just hearing the truth, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing the truth. The truth is that upon that cross, Jesus took away and bore the penalty for your sin, and he took the sin of the whole world, even though not the whole world is taking advantage of what he did on the cross. He bore the penalty for your disobedience, and if he did, then that is payment enough, right? You don't have to pay. So many Christians doing penance, trying to do penance, trying to, you know, pay for their sin, feeling guilty of doing something. I got to earn it. I got to pay somehow. I'll just be miserable for a while. That's how I'll pay. I'll just be miserable. That's my payment. That's why I'm suffering like this. I'll get sick. That's why I'm suffering, because of my sin. I've sinned so bad. I've done so much wrong. I'll just be sick. That's my payment. I'm paying the penalty for my sin. No, that's not Jesus bore the penalty. See, you're self-deceived. You're listening to religious devil. See, that's what the religions of the world do. They try to earn their way. Like the self-flagellations that these Muslim Shiites are doing with their swords and cutting on their heads and thinking that relieves them of their sin. They just cut themselves enough time. And Catholicism another in bondage religion, have to earn their way, do penance, all these different things. It's just pray the rosary. Now, if you don't understand this, though, then you'll never be released from your bondages. You've got to understand it, that Jesus took away, bore the penalty. He took away your sin, and he bore the penalty for your sin. And sin doesn't have to have dominion over you anymore because of that. And as long as you feel unworthy, you feel guilty, you feel unclean, you will never experience the fullness of God's love, because you can never really appreciate what he's done for you because you don't feel worthy. You're going by your feelings rather than walking by faith. The just shall walk by faith. You walk by faith, you receive what God has done, period, and don't let your feelings get in the way. Your feelings are liars anyway. I mean, no, if you live by your feelings, you're living by a lie. Because your feelings will manipulate you. The devil gets in your feelings. And he manipulates you and calls you to say things that are not accurate. Calls you to act in ways that are not accurate. The demons do that. And you yield to them. And submit to them. See? Come on now. So how can you really praise him if you don't really understand what he did? Quit thinking that because you've been disobedient, God can't help you. A lot of people think that way. Well, I did this wrong, so I guess that, you know, until I live this out, I'm not getting help from God, you know. Now, where are you getting that kind of thinking from? That's thinking from the devil. You have to change the way you think about yourself. You have to repent, which means to change your way of thinking about it. Turn your thinking about how God feels toward you when you are disobedient. That's right. Turn it around from that. Sure, God abhors sin and disobedience, and we should hate it too. We're to hate evil. But he also knows that we are trapped in the carnal consciousness, and we're trapped in the sin many times of this world, because the Bible says we fall into temptation. And anybody that says they don't sin is inaccurate, because everybody sins, right? So he knows that. And so his blood is applied and continually cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. So we're okay, you know, because of the blood. So if you turn to him and you commune with him, you'll see his grace and his forgiveness and his cleansing of all the sin. No matter how bad you are, his sin offering is complete for all who will receive it. I receive it. Do you? And if you enter into his presence, you'll always see and you'll always find grace to help in time of need. That's right. He promised that. See, forgiveness is like someone who has a unlimited bank account. It is there when you need it, and you should not feel guilty or badly because you need it when you do need it. Just go ahead and draw on it. It's yours. It's your account. God gave it to you. He gave you forgiveness. He gave you the gift of forgiveness. You never run out of forgiveness. Why? Because you are forgiven. It's because of Jesus and the cross, not because of your performance or your goodness or your obedience when you do obey God, but because of Jesus in you. I mean, you could change your mind and see yourself as you really are, see, because of Jesus in you. You can change your mind, start seeing yourself the way you really are in Christ Jesus, one who stands forgiven, one who stands cleansed, one who manifests the beauty of his creator. Hallelujah. Yes, we deal with the demons in the basement. Yes, we deal with these things. But, hey, that doesn't stop you from your relationship with God. It might try to hinder your relationship if you don't get rid of them. But it won't stop the relationship altogether. Luke 17:21. Hallelujah. I hope you turn from that. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Remember where the kingdom of God is. Kingdom of God is not a place you go to when you die. It's a place that you live in right now, because it's within you, it says right there in the Bible, right? The word of God is true, right? It's a place to live now. And yeah, when you die, you will go where he is. But you are where he is now also. right? Because he's living inside of you. You where he is, right? Your spirit is where he is. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're where he is. It's an awareness. It's a realm where God is your all in all. It's a realm where when you begin to live in it and from it, you found the truth that you are not a miserable sinner, but you are is a manifestation of Jesus because you have him living in you and you are manifesting the fruit of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit. You shall know them by the fruit. You'll know them by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You'll know them by what they're manifesting. If they're manifesting Jesus to some degree, I realize that you manifest the flesh sometimes. I realize you manifest this sometimes. But listen, you as a believer, you should be manifesting Jesus as well. Huh? Out of your spirit. Out of the kingdom of God. When you manifest the flesh, you're manifesting that which you die daily to, right? And Paul said, no good thing lives in the flesh, so the demons are there. But when you manifest out of your spirit, you're manifesting the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is within you, and you manifest the things of the spirit. You manifest Jesus. See? You will show Jesus when you see Jesus in truth and spirit. We worship him in truth and spirit, right? We worship him in spirit and truth. When we see him in spirit and truth, we're going to manifest him. And we will worship in spirit and truth, right? Jesus said, my kingdom comes not with observation. Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. See, and the people of this world are not looking at things spiritually. They're looking at things carnally, fleshly. Through the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why we praise and worship in the spirit and from the spirit. He says, my words are spirit and life, spirit and truth, right? So praise God, worship him. Put those high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand and don't ever let go of them. See? 1 Corinthians 15:45-46. 1 Corinthians 15:45-46. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The last Adam, the new creation Adam, that's what, you know, we're living in, the new creation Adam. Verse 47, it says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord, from heaven. The second or the last Adam is from heaven, the spiritual one. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? Yes, we were first carnal and in bondage to the realm of the flesh, sold under sin, sold into the demonic realm. But now the spiritual has come. Oh, man, it has come. Can you begin to see that you have a reason to rejoice and praise the Lord at all times? See? At all times. Continually be in my mouth. The praise of the God, the high praise of God, to continually be in my mouth. You still have the Adamic awareness within your being, but hey, we also have the Christ awareness now. As a new creature in Christ, new creation, living by faith and grace, we are a saint of God. Hallelujah. Most have never been taught, though, that the first Adam can't make it. No matter how hard he tries, that second Adam, Jesus, doesn't have to try, see? But see, and most people are running around trying to make that first Adam be good, eating of the tree of knowledge of good, the good of the tree. I'm trying to be a good man, good woman. I'll try harder. I'll do better next time. Right, and then you don't because you can't do it on your own power, see? You got to have the power of God. You got to live from your new creation. You got to live from Jesus, his overcoming power. You can't overcome with the first Adam. You got to live from the new creation, the second Adam, Christ, Jesus, the Lord, the power in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater than all the demons that are in the world, right? Greater is the one that's living in us, the demon that's subject to us. So we need to understand our new identity is no longer Adam. See? It's not Adam. What you really are is spirit. We're not just living out of the Adamic nature anymore. The second Adam is like the pre-lost Adam. I mean, before he ate the tree. I mean, we were restored to that kind of position where we could walk in the cool of the evening with Jesus, right, and talk and walk with him. Oh, yeah. The woman at the well asked Jesus, where shall we worship? And some said, on this mountain. And others said, at Jerusalem only shall we worship. And we need to hear his answer through the revelation knowledge of the Spirit of God. We need to hear what he's saying here through revelation. Jesus said, God is spirit. If you want to worship him, it's not a matter of location. It's not a matter of finding a special revival meeting or this church over here or that church over there. It's not a matter of that. You must worship him in spirit. And you can't worship him in spirit unless you are spiritual or unless you are spirit. What does the Bible say, 1 Corinthians 6:17? That he that joins to the Lord is one spirit. So we are spiritual now, so we can worship spiritually, see? And we can do wherever we're at because it's not a physical location. It's just being spirit. See, what you really are in reality is spirit. For too long, we've lived out of the flesh, out of the soul, ignoring the spirit, because only after you're born again is your spirit even energized or made alive where you can even be aware of it, really, because they're walking around dead. Their spirit is dead. They're living in death because the moment they ate of that tree, Adam and Eve died spiritually. I mean, you know, our spirit was dead until the time that we asked Jesus in our heart. Then it came alive. It was born again. It was regenerated. It became a new living spirit, not a dead darkness spirit. So we often are content as Christians what to do, to just let it continue to be ignored, our spirit, or just sleep, even though now it is very much alive with Jesus living in it. Hello. However, if you ever really want to worship God, you cannot worship him with the flesh or the soul. You cannot find him in the natural mind. You need to worship him in spirit. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in the truth, because if you don't worship him the way he said to worship him, you haven't really worshiped at all. He might have gone through physical motions. I know I've been in churches where they go through all kinds of physical motions, but are they really worshiping him, or are they just making a show in the flesh, see? Once you realize that Adam is no longer has the authority to rule in you, but that Jesus does, you're going to come alive spiritually. You're going to begin to overcome the Adamic flesh rule inside of you. And how do I worship in spirit? Well, you begin to speak from your spirit to God and not from your mind. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I am spirit. I am one with you spiritually. You're not imputing my sins unto me. You've made me righteous forever. You've imputed righteousness. I don't have to make myself righteous or holy. I am spirit. I am because of you within me. And once you realize your righteousness before God, God begins to work his righteousness into your disposition. Oh, how we need God's righteousness work into our disposition. We need to rid ourselves by the power of him. Of that fear, of that bondage to this, that, the other, that lust, that greed, that jealousy, all these different things that we've been in bondage to, that have boarded and mastered because we've submitted to those things in the past. See? He works his righteousness into our disposition. His righteousness will flow from your innermost being and transform your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion in the heart. See? That needs transformation. And as you reach for him with all your heart, he's going to day by day transform you to be more like him from glory to glory to glory to glory. See, Jesus is going to finish your faith. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's going to finish your faith. You don't have to finish what he began. See, he's the author and finisher, both. See, the author and the finisher. He brings it to completion. He brings your faith to completion. He brings it to your physical reality. He brings it into the realm where you got it and you know you got it. See? Oh, yeah. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is changing you, quickening you, and giving life to you right now. If you receive it, you receive. Just say, I receive life from you, Lord. I receive that which is spirit from you. I've just awakened spiritually, and I receive that which is spiritually alive into me right now. Just begin to confess these things. Begin to speak these things. Start saying the right things with your mouth instead of the wrong things, and submitting your mouth to the wrong sources, and start submitting to the right source, which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's in you. And you'll become more spiritually alive and spiritually quickened, and you'll begin to live spiritually too, see? Oh, yeah. praise and worship with joy and thanksgiving now. So you have a reason to give worship. You have a reason and an inward source to do it from, see? Now that you know these things, right? Reach for him in praise and worship today. Let the long arms of praise rise up into the heavenlies and touch the master of love and grace and mercy and receive those things and much more. Much more. I mean, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, just start receiving those things. Start being spiritually awakened and practicing spiritual realities in your life. See, the spiritual reality is being made alive spiritually. It's not practicing the flesh all the time and the carnal thinking and the fearful thinking and the anxiety. Stop practicing those things and practice spiritual life, heavenly life. Amen. Your spiritual mind. Praise God. I got to stop here now so we can do some deliverance. But I could go on and on with this stuff because this is living reality. Put into words the best I can, and the Spirit of God has to make it alive. And that spirit's going on inside of you when these things come alive. That's spiritual being activated. That's the spiritual being activated by your spirit, by the Holy Spirit in you. See, it's not man that teaches you. It's the Holy Spirit in your spirit that gets activated when it hears spiritual truth, and it activates that which you need to know, see, and it teaches you. But it's not the man that teaches. Man can't teach us. It has to be the Spirit of God that teaches us. It's not that we don't need teachers, men and women that teach us. It's that they can't teach us without the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the true teacher. You see, some people have said, well, I don't need any man or woman to teach me. I just, you know, because the Bible says a dumb man who teaches. They're getting it wrong. They're missing the spiritual reality of that scripture. It's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that makes it alive. But it may come out of a man's mouth, but the Spirit takes those words, see, and gives you what you need and makes it alive to you and teaches you. See, it's the Spirit that does the teaching in churches. It's the Spirit. That is, if it's a church that you can get any teaching out of, but there are some certainly that you can't right now, Dave. But anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you. We worship you, worship you, worship you. We give you praise and honor, Lord. We thank you for taking us into the spiritual life tonight. Thank you for that which is spirit and that which is life to us and truth. Lord, that we have just partaken of that, and we're going to continue to partake of it. Praise and worship will take us into the realm of the Spirit, true praise and worship, Lord, and we love to praise you. I love to worship you, and I will continue to do it all the days of my life, Lord, on this earth and into eternity as well. Father, we worship you now, worship you, worship you, worship you. Lord, thank you for exposing our basement, Lord, and showing us what's in there so we could begin to clean house, Father. And there's a lot of Christians that need house cleaning that have left things unattended to for so long. We pray, Lord, that they'll take attention to those things and they'll get them out of there, Lord, by the power of your spirit and the power of casting out demons and cleaning house and the washing of the water, the word, Father, all these things put together, taking authority. Lord, we thank you that we're instruments of righteousness, not instruments of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for all these things that we covered tonight. Lord, we praise you, worship you, honor you. Thank you for the truth, Lord, that sets us free, that we know it, and it's a reality. Even though we live in a world of darkness, we live in a world that's going just loony with demons and fallen beings of darkness. Not everybody. Thank God for the kingdom of God. Thank God for the righteous. Thank God for our brothers and sisters, Lord. We thank you. We worship you for it. And give you the glory, and we pray this wicked thing will be taken down in this nation. We pray against it. We rebuke it. We send the warring angels against it. And we thank you for turning things around in America, Father. We thank you for an outpouring from above, Lord, outpouring of your spirit, many salvations in the days ahead, Father. We thank you for that. Thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. Thank you, Lord, that we're just going to live in the glory, Father. We're going to live in your presence, Father. We're going to receive more and more from you in the days ahead, Father, we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Do put some high praises in your mouth tonight. Don't go to bed without praising God tonight. Amen. We'll just take an intermission. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll do some deliverance in for a while. As we have time, we'll be back, and we'll do some deliverance. Amen.
Afghanistan right now is terrible. What's happening over there?
and other places too. I mean, there's just stuff happening everywhere. It's the devil in full manifestation. We know that, but you know what? Jesus is also manifesting. So I praise God for that. Come out of there. All that tension. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Yeah, Jesus is showing up with signs, wonders, deliverance, healing, and his presence, his power in places today too. He's not going to be outdone by no devil. Come out, tension. Come out, worry. Come out, anxiety. Come out. Come out right now. All the way out. Go. All that tension, all that worry about the future, worry about stuff in the world, worry about how you're going to make it, anxiety, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Worry, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. I bind you, break your hold. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Tension, worry, anxiety, come out. Every one of you has to go. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name, come out, 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 anxiety, come out, anxiety, come out, anxiety, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Jesus' name, go. Hysterical spirits, come out. Hysteria, some people fall into hysteria, come out. All that hysteria, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of hysterical, come out. Jesus' name, come out, come out. Fears, come out, fear, come out. Fear of the future, fear, fear of what the enemy doing or trying to do against you. Come out, all that fear. Come out, come out, come out, come out, fear. 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 Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. All that fear, all the way out, all the way out. In the name of Jesus right now, come out, fear. Come out, fear. In the name of Jesus, fear of death, you come out. Come out, fear of death. Come out. If you don't have the fear of death, you're not afraid to die, then you're not afraid to go through life. I mean, really, because so many people are afraid they're just going to die. Something's going to happen, they're going to die. I'm going to die in a car wreck, going to get sick and die, going to have somebody rob me and kill me. You know? All that fear of death, you go, come out, come out. We're not being controlled by fear of death. Come out, fear of death. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, fear of death right now. Self-pity, too, come out, come out. We're not being controlled by that either. Come out, fear of death, go, and self-pity, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, break your hold. Come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out. Somebody called you a scattered brain. We break that curse over your brain. You're not a scattered brain. We break that curse. You come out of there right now. We break those word curses over your mind. Slow, scattered brain. You come out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way out. We break those curses over your mind. We break word curses spoken over you. In Jesus' name, we cancel the assignment of those words in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, all those word curses, that you're stupid, that you're dumb, that you're reckless, that you're this, that, or the other, that you're undependable, you're inferior, you're this, you're that. Come out, all the way out. I bind you. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out, move in Jesus' name. Move up out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. In Jesus' name. Move. Keep moving. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. Go. All the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. All the way. All the way out. All the way out. Right now. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Breaking those word curses, canceling the assignment for them, and commanding the demons that have been sent, go right now, go all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus right now, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Come on, all the moodiness, you come out. They're moody, changing moods all the time. Come out in Jesus' name, going into different mood modes. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Come on, moodiness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all that moody spirit. Come out, all the way out. all the way out. Come out, moody. Come out, melancholy. Come out. 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 Come out all the way out. Come on, all the way out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way up out of there. That pride, come out. Pride, you got to go all the way out. All that pride. All that pride. I rebuke you, that pride that won't let you submit to God. Come out. All that pride, come out. Pride, come out all the way out. All that pride, up and out, up and out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way, in the name of Jesus, right now. All the way out. All the way out. Go, in the name of Jesus, right now. Keep coming out. Keep coming out of there. Move, in Jesus' name. All pride. All pride. You go, right now. All herpes spirits, you come out. We break the curse of herpes over your body. Command those herpes spirits to come out. Jesus' name, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out of the body right now. Come out. Come out, herpes, go. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. Spirit of diabetes, you come out. Come out. Diabetes, poor circulation. We break that curse over your body. We break generational curses because somebody in your family line had it. Doesn't mean you have to have that demon. Come out. All the way out. We break the curse. We break those bloodline spirits. Come out. Right now, all that diabetes spirits, come out. That diabetic spirits, come out. Right now, come out, come out. Poor circulation, come out, come out, come out, come out. Poor circulation in the extremities, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, diabetes spirit, come out. All the way out, come out now. In the name of Jesus, the body will make the proper insulin. The body will do what it's supposed to do. You come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Keep coming out of there now, all the way out, all the way out of there. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. Loosen and let them go, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Heart, spirit, there's a heart trouble, heart attack, you come out. Come on, all the problems with heart disease, you come out right now, heart disease, come out. All the way out, Jesus' name. We break the curse of heart disease. Come out, in Jesus' name. You shall live and not die. Come out, all the way out. Go, in the name of Jesus right now. All the way out, heart disease. Come out of the heart. Come out of the heart, the blood of Jesus. Come out of the intestinal tract, the spirits in the intestinal, colitis and diverticulitis and any other spirits that lodge in the intestinal tract, the colon, come out of the colon right now. Move in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go right now. Move in Jesus' name. Come out of the colon. Spirits in the colon. Come out. 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 Bleeding. Come out. Come out. Hemorrhoids. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Digestive problems, ulcers, come out, 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 come out. Prostatitis, come out. Come out of the prostate, come out in Jesus' name. Go, go. Vaginal trouble, come out of the vaginal area. Come out. Urinary tract problems, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Come out of the bladder, come out of the all those areas of the urinary tract. Come out of those areas. Come out. I bind you. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Out of the female part. You come out of it right now. Go, go. Out of the uterus. Come out. Fibroid spirit. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Fibroid. Come out. Come out. Come out. Tumors. Come out. Come out. Cancers. Come out. 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 Prostate cancer, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way out, up and out. Come out, all the way. Keep going, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. You have to go. Come on. fantasy lust, you come out. All that fantasy lust, fantasizing in the mind, come out of the mind. All that fantasy, all that lust, come out. All that pornography, come out. Come out, pornography, come out. In the name of Jesus right now, pornography, all the way out. Perversion, pornography, lust, come out. Come out, come out. Masturbation, come out, come out, come out. Come out, masturbation, in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out. Come on out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. Go, all that masturbation, you go. Come out. Come on, up out of there. Move in Jesus' name right now. You got to go. I rebuke the masturbation spirit. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Move, 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 move. Come out. Masturbation. Come out. Pornography. Come out. 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 Pornography. Go. All the way out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Take a few coughs. Get this thing moving. Come out. All the way out. Cough them. Cough. Let them go. All the way out. All the pornography. All that perversion. All that spirit of homosexuality. You come out. Please go. In the name of Jesus, we break that curse. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. Oral sex. Come out. In Jesus' name. Oral sex. Come out. In the name of Jesus right now. Come out, oral sex. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Keep coming out. Oral sex. You have to go. Up and out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go all the way in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. All that self-condemnation, you come out. Go. Self-condemnation, come out. Come out. All the way. Let it go. All that self-condemnation, take a few coughs, get it moving. All the way. All the way out. In the name of Jesus right now, that irresponsible spirit, you come out. Irresponsible. Don't take any responsibility. You're irresponsible. If somebody gives them to you, come out. Irresponsible. Come out. 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 All the way out. Irresponsible. All the way out. Hard-headed. Stubbornness. Come on. We break those curses. The hard-headed spirit. Come out. Come out. Now. All the way out. That hard-headedness. You come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, you have to go. That hard-headed spirit. Come out. All the way out. Hard-headed, I find you. Come out. Stubbornness, come out. Unteachable, come out. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Move in the name of Jesus. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Jesus' name. So all that suppressed anger, in Jesus' name, come out. That suppressed anger, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Suppressed anger, go. That dozing spirit, where you just doze off and don't know why you're dozing off. That dozing spirit, you come out. All the way out, go. All that dozing, sleepiness, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, all that dozing spirit, go, go, in Jesus' name, dozing, all that dozing spirit, I bind you, come out, dozing, that dozing spirit, the Lord rebuke you, I rebuke you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Yeah, I've talked to people in conversation and have to fall asleep before, just when I'm talking to somebody, you know, and then before I know it, they're out, you know, and I've seen that happen with other people when they're conversing with somebody as well. Have that dozing spirit come out in Jesus' name. Go all the way out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Break your hold. Controlled by women, you come out. Come on, all that spirit of control by women or controlled by men. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Come out. Controlled by women. You have to go all the way out, controlled by men. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus, all the way out. Come on up out of there right now. You got to go. You got to move. You got to keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Spirit of impatience, you come out. Come on. Spirit of impatience. Oh, I don't want to wait. I want it to all happen right now, God. Why isn't it happening yet? Come out. All that impatience. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I want to move right now. I want my place right now. I want this right now. I want that right now. I want my mate right now. I want, God to show up right now. All that impatience. God said by faith and patience we inherit the promise, not by impatience we inherit the promise. Come out. All the way out. Go. All the way out, impatient. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Go in Jesus' name. Go, that impulsive spirit, too. Go, impulsive spirit. Just acting on impulses at the spur of the moment. You just do things and you act on impulses rather than by being led by the Spirit and planning by the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit will move you to do something, but sometimes you just act on impulse and get yourself in some kind of mess or problem because of impulsiveness. Come out of there, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go that impulsive spirit. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Oh, keep coming. Yeah, you do. You come out all the way. All the way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hard-heartedness, you come out. Hard-heartedness, go. Hard-hearted spirit, you have to come out now in Jesus' name. We break the curse of the hard heart. Come out, hard-hearted spirit. You come out of there, all the way out in the name of Jesus. Those gullible spirits, too, you come out. Gullible, hard-hearted, and then gullible, too, you come out. Gullible, you're very gullible, easily manipulated. Come out, we bind and break the gullible spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. All the way up out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go, move, 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 move. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this deliverance today. Seal this deliverance that people have received to them right now that they can walk it out. Keep it to God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Lord, bless every listener too tonight. In Jesus' name. Everyone that listens to this program this next week. Bless each and every one of them that downloads and listens in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, there'll be no program next Friday night. I won't be available to do it. So next Friday night, there will be no program. We will resume broadcasting on September 3rd, Friday the 3rd, but there won't be one on the 27th. Just want to put that. But hey, we've got over 300 programs here that you can listen to anytime. So pick one and listen to it if you just have to. Hear me on Friday night. There's plenty of other programs that you could go back and listen to that would definitely do you good. Amen. Well, we appreciate you listening. Appreciate you being here tonight. Those of you who have listened live, appreciate you and love you and pray the very best for you, Lord, that God will give you the very best and that your life will be filled with wisdom as well in Jesus' name. All right, well, good night now, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye now. Of fairest
violets of purest hue, the fragrance of sweet perfume, oceans of azure blue, the radiance of a summer day, white clouds floating on the crystal air, but all pale beside your love is beyond compare, beyond every song that human voices have ever sung, beyond any word that human tongue could ever speak, higher than the highest, furthest mountain peak, and deeper than the deepest ocean current. And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged road, companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying sympathy you dry every tear, ease every care. I worship your majesty, your love is beyond compare,
beyond every song that human voices have ever sung, beyond any word that human tongue could ever speak, higher than the highest, furthest mountain peak.
And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged road, companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying sympathy you dry every tear, ease every care. I worship your
Sometimes things can be tough, but you're going to make it. So by the grace of God, that's the only way we can make it. Amen. The Lord grant you abundance of grace to get through whatever you're facing. Good night.